This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Well, day three has finally begun, and we are starting then now with the coming into the dealer's room, and it's actually to the dealer's room, and I'm here with Kevin Raelich right now. And what's the name of your company then, Raelich? Kevin.
You can call me Raelich. That's fine. So here at the table, I'm representing two companies. One just as myself, as Kevin Raelich. I do some handmade gaffs and that sort of thing. I'm into marked cards and Svengali decks and that sort of fun thing. And then I also have some gaffed and gimmicked coins and poker chips. My father-in-law has been a machinist for about 35 years, but just in the last year, he's started up his own machining business, and he's been putting a focus on some magic stuff. So that's called Blackjack Machining. And he's got a lot of great offerings, and so we're just kind of offering some cool coin and poker chip and card stuff here at Trix.
Yeah, there are some pretty cool everything. You know, I mean, as far as Mark Deck, you said you've had for the past several years. This is my first Trix, so, but you said you've been here past years and selling those things. But the these are new with the chips.
Yeah, I've been bringing different card stuff. I've been coming to Trix for about the last 8 years or so, I want to say. John, my father-in-law, has just been doing the magic machining for about the last year. So this is their convention debut, and it's been really fun to share that stuff with everybody.
Yeah, nice stuff in which they're color-changing poker chips and, a lot of magnetic stuff with coins and things. It's really, really, really well made, well machined, and everything. And they're silent, look good, and to handle well as well. So you've been coming for a long time, and So have you been a dealer also for a long time?
I've been a dealer since my very first convention, and every year I do it again. I always say, like, maybe next year I won't do it because I just want more time to hang out and session and Just attend. And then every year I'm like, nah, I'll do a table. Because also I live pretty close. I just live down the road in Raleigh. So it's only about 3 hours away. So it's pretty easy to just load up the car and bring some stuff.
So you know and hang out with Steve Beam from time to time.
From time to time, yeah. We're both in IBM Ring 199, Raleigh Magic Club. Yeah. So, yeah, Steve's a character. And, of course, he's our lovable curmudgeon here at Trix every year.
What's one of the things that's been a highlight for you so far at the convention?
Michael Ammar, for sure, because he's like a childhood hero of mine. And I've been lucky enough to see him lecture and perform in years past, but it's always great to see him again because he's just so wonderful. I also really love how Scott Robinson always brings new up-and-coming people, because there are so many people over the years who I've been exposed to for the first time here at Trix, because I come in and a few years ago Vincent Hedan, the French mentalist, was here and I had never even heard of him, and he blew everybody's minds. But for this year specifically, Vince Mendoza has been great with his presentations. Ammar, Garrett Thomas, of course, is next level beastly with his sleight of hand. Yeah. So there's the entire weekend is a highlight, so it's really hard to pick one.
It's hard
thing.
To pick one. It's kind of like picking a child or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Sophie's Choice.
So today should be another full day and a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think we have Dan Harlan on the lineup today and some other great
Jonathan
stuff.
Jonathan Levitt.
John Levitt. I'm really excited to see him. And then we have the full show. We do the show at the end of the weekend with all of the lecturers, and we have some of the public come in, which is really great. You get a very different vibe during that final show to have some lay people in the audience rather than just a room full of magicians.
To see what their actual reaction is.
Yeah, the real reaction. Yeah. So the final evening show is wonderful. So, yeah, it's just such a great, cozy convention. I heard someone say yesterday that it feels more like a family reunion than a magic convention.
Yeah.
And it's 100% true. It's so great to come back. And so we all missed being here last year, so it's so wonderful to be back.
Even more
this year.
Appreciative. This year.
Yeah. I think this is my first like live magic event in 2 years, so I'm happy to be here.
So one last thing, then, Kevin. What is the name of your company, and how can people check it out?
People can find me at krmagic.com, and they can find my father-in-law stuff at blackjackmachining.com.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Thank you,
Kevin.
Scott.
Enjoy the convention. I've had a good time.
Too.
So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Kevin Raelich. Gonna say it right, Raelich.
Yep.
Okay, Scotty. So while we are in the dealer's room, one of the people I happened across, it's not that big of a convention. We've seen each other throughout the convention the last day or two, but I've had a chance actually to say hello to a friend of the Magic Word, Rick DeNatale.
Yeah.
Good to see you, Rick. How are
good
you?
Good to see you, Scott.
You enjoying the convention?
Oh, I love it.
Now, have you been coming for a long time?
I've been coming since, I think, 2015.
Okay.
I missed it 1 year because of health, and then last year it didn't happen. But, yeah. Yeah, but it's a great, it's a, my favorite convention.
You attend others? I mean, what others have you gone to?
Yeah, I've been to Carnival of Magic, IBM convention, the IBM SAM convention in Louisville I went to. We were together. Where else? A few others, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
What have you been inspired by or enjoyed most so far in this convention?
Well, okay, so one of the things was I met my bucket list magician of the year, of this year, who is Mike Amar. And last year I met Dan Harlan. I went to Magi Fest and stayed over to see him at Penguin. And now he's moved to our area. He's now a member of our ring, which is also going to be a SAM assembly as of the first of the year.
And you live where again?
I live in Raleigh.
Raleigh. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, yes.
I was just talking to Kevin over there.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin is a buddy. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Kevin's probably my best friend in magic.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys get together and swap some tricks?
Yeah, yeah. We meet, you know, we're Ring One, Raleigh Magic Club, Ring 199. We're going to be SAM Assembly 199 as well. Mm-hmm. We meet once a month. We started meeting physically again probably about in the summer this year. We also have we traditionally had a mid-month, which during COVID we turned into weekly Zoom sessions.
Yeah.
But now one of those has become a physical mid-month, and we meet at Dan and Sarah Elephant's house, and we, you know, session there. And yeah, it's a great group. Steve Beam is a member.
Right. How big is your group?
30 to 50.
That's a pretty good size group.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have that many people turn out, but yeah. Yeah.
Well, so we got a large group, too, but obviously not everybody.
And we've got, you know, a lot of tradition. We've got several past IBM presidents, Mike Gorman, Bill Spooner, who's sort of a remote member now. And a lot of magicians have passed through the ring too. So yeah.
I kind of get the feeling when Kevin was talking earlier about this being kind of a family kind of a reunion.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who have been coming year after year, and it is kind of a regional convention, if you will.
Yeah.
However, I understand that, of course, it hadn't been due to COVID. There are a lot of outside people outside the United States,
right,
like Boris Wilde and others who have been coming in from time to time as well.
Yeah. He usually has, you know, half of them people are from Europe or outside the country, but this year that was tough. You know, Boris couldn't make it because of they haven't opened the borders yet. So,
At least coming this way.
Because
I'm going over to see him. I'll see him next Saturday, in fact.
I'm going to
be in Paris then.
Yeah, and I guess citizens can get in because his fiance is from here.
Right. Yeah, Tiffany can
go over.
She's
been living with.
But as far as this convention, what has been the one thing that you've learned this year so far?
I mean, my biggest surprise was I had no idea about Rolando Santos' background with CNN.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I knew him from Conjurer's
Community.
You're
one of the last guys to
know
that.
Last
of the party.
It's sort of the reverse because John McLaughlin, I didn't know he was a magician.
Oh, you only knew him from the CIA,
I knew him. I met him. He came to my cousin's funeral. My cousin was a CIA analyst. At the time, we didn't know he was CIA anymore. Yeah, but we discovered that he was at his funeral.
Yeah.
So I met John in Louisville.
Yeah.
And he remembered my cousin very fondly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that is kind of funny.
Yeah.
It is a nice fraternity, as you say, community.
The magic community in general. I mean, there's very few bad apples in the bunch.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you being a friend and supporter of the Magic Order. Also, I recall, I believe you've even won a couple of contests.
I've won a couple or three, I think.
We haven't had a contest in a while. We haven't had anybody give us anything for free yet that we can pass on.
Yeah.
So good luck again.
Thank you.
And thank you again for being a supporter.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
You bet. Good seeing you, Rick, from the Magic Word Podcast. That was Rick DeNatale and Scotty Allen. We're about to begin the first activity of the day, which is going to be Dan Harlan's lecture, and it's going to start up at about 11 o'clock. It'll be the first activity for this final day, day three of the 2021 Tricks Convention here in Charlotte, North Carolina. But one of the people who was a presenter yesterday as part of what they call Insights is my good buddy Rolando Santos, your vice president, actually, of CNN, and now retired, semi-retired. And so he's living over in the San Antonio area, so he's a fellow Texan once again. Good to see you, Rolando.
It's good to be home, actually. Good to see you, too.
And you're looking good. I'm glad you're and healthy. I'm glad things have worked out, and you're looking good, man.
Thank you. It's good
to see you back again.
Yes, it's good. It's good to be back and healthy. Yes, it was a rough 3 months, but I'm doing okay. Thank you very much.
You bet. Because I know people would be wondering. I wonder how he's doing. So who knows? So great. So yesterday, I thought that was interesting. This is the first time I've, of course, been to this convention, and having the insights was kind of like what they've done, I guess, at 4F, where it's like a miniature, like a TED Talk type of a thing, where you had like 10 to 12 minutes or so. And would you recap what it is that you were talking about, the pillars?
Well, what I talked about was making an evocative connection with people, how to engage your audience in a continuous manner. And the difference between most magicians is they try to provoke a reaction. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's a fleeting, transitory thing. If you evoke an emotion, you create a magical moment that becomes a memory. So the difference between evoking and provoking is, if there were a fire in an apartment complex in Charlotte, for example, 200 people don't have a place to stay and two people died, you could say that. You're provoking a reaction. But if you were to say, Scott and his teddy bear don't have a place to live tonight, their apartment complex burned, 200 of his neighbors don't have a home and two people died, that's where that evoking emotion makes a connection that will be remembered longer than simply providing or provoking a reaction. So when you do flourishes and stuff, that's perfectly fine if that's what you want to do. But there's a different way of connecting with an audience. And you connect with an audience through six basic emotions, which is anger, fear, happiness, sadness, awe, and hope. And so what you're doing is you're constantly looking for a way to touch your audience that way. And you frame your magic in terms that that person will understand. Not your perspective, but that person's perspective. And the example I use is, if I'm doing Professor's Nightmare, and I'm doing it on Rodeo Drive in Los Angeles, I'm talking about the white cord that holds up the yellow awnings on Rodeo Drive, because everyone knows about the yellow awnings. But if I'm doing it in East LA, where there's a lot of Hispanics and a lot of immigrants, I'm probably going to talk about the rope that their grandmother used to use to dry the clothes on the clothesline in the backyard at home. And so what I've done is, same effect, I've just framed it so that the audience that I'm talking to will instantly connect with me, and now they'll follow me along.
Big difference.
Total difference.
Yeah. Boy, several things I want to talk about. One of the things says, it sounds like a kind of thing that you would be teaching to journalists, video journalists particularly, because when you are trying to, as an anchor person or as a newsreader, you're going to be trying to get the audience to understand and empathize with what had just happened, where you're not just talking about, oh, there was this fire, but you actually talk with someone who has survived the fire, because then it becomes more real, because you're talking to a real person rather than describing the incident.
Yes, and so I'll give you another example. If I'm trying to draw the audience in and create this magical moment so they forget about the rest of their life, the person they're dating that night and who they're with and this and the other. So, for example, if I were doing a spooky story, I would probably start out with, you know, I'd like to know why it is I always have to go to the basement around 11 o'clock at night. It's never during the day. And then they put the light switch on the other side of the basement, so I have to walk down the creaky stairs.
Right.
Now, you're laughing and smiling, right?
Right.
And you're the person, I'm going to look in the audience, and when I see the person react, I'm going to say, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. How do you feel when you do that? And they start talking, and then the next person starts talking. And the best thing you know, before you know it, the audience has all these images that I haven't created. All I did was I pushed them in a direction, and they've created that moment. And I guarantee you, whatever effect follows that, they're going to remember that because of the first part. So those are the kinds of connections that you want to make. The other thing is, the average attention span of a person is about 9 seconds these days. And that's because of digital and tweets and everything else. And you're constantly having to reinforce it, either with your words or with your actions, okay? The bad part is, when an audience gets lost, it takes about 10 seconds to come back to you, if they come back at all. Think about how much happens in those 10 seconds in a typical routine. And worse, if you lose them and they don't want to come back, then they start looking and seeing the things that you don't want them to see.
That's right.
So it's a constant kind of scripting with keywords where you're always engaging the audience either in your actions or with your words.
We should be looking also, it sounds like, to what professional and successful comedians do, because they are observational, saying, you ever wonder, or Andy Rooney, you ever wonder about those little things, you know, those sticky notes, you know, they're everywhere, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, listen to that.
I don't want people to misunderstand. It's perfectly fine to provoke a reaction with these beautiful flourishes and coin magic and this and the action.
Right.
But the reality is, for most people, they do a trick, and there's no storyline behind it.
It's like Michael Moore says, bubblegum for the eyes.
Yeah, and but if you do, if you're the average magician and you go out and you buy a trick, what do I say with the trick? Because just doing the trick is not going to leave an impression, right? And so if you begin to learn about this and start thinking in terms of how to do this, and the way to learn it was real simple. Stand at a, I mean, when you're driving and you're at a stop sign, out loud, describe what you see at the stop sign.
Good
idea. There's a people. There, I'm sorry. There's a person in a yellow rain jacket with a stroller. She's going to walk. No, she's not going to walk. Oh, she's on the phone. Yeah, now she's going to walk across the street. And that will help you begin to think on your feet. It's how I teach journalists to do live shots. It's the easiest way. You just sit there and you describe it, but you describe it like for radio, like what we're talking about right now.
Yes, yes.
You have to create the image with details. It's not just he's wearing a sweater. He's wearing a green sweater. Oh, look at that. He's got a red cord around his neck.
Yeah.
Now the person on the other side of the, in this particular case, the internet, has this image of you sitting in front of me, you're wearing a long sleeve green sweater, and you have a red cord with an ID tag around you. Okay, I got this image.
Right.
And in that process, you've taken them from their moment there into another world.
Right.
And that's magic.
Right. And that's, we'll start to wrap up here because we need to, when I'll come and visit you, we'll talk
for a long time.
But it reminds me of what Penn and Teller had said also. It's just not look at the pretty box. I mean, you need to engage the audience because they're sentient beings, and you should recognize that and let them complete things in their own mind and bring that memory home with them. So make it, as you said, evocative. I mean, bring this full circle, evocative rather than provocative.
Right. So to close it out, I'm not a comedian. I can't tell a joke to save my soul. If someone laughs in my show, it's because I screwed up. And
it was an accident.
That's right. It was an accident. And so I don't have that ability. And most magicians don't have the ability. But we all have the ability to tell a story. And as long as you tell the story from something that you know something about, you'll connect. Because that other person shares common interests with you, those emotions that we talked about, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter the language, doesn't matter. I've traveled all over the world. You know I've worked all over the world.
Right.
Those basic emotions are universal. I can be anywhere on the planet. As long as I touch those buttons, I will get the reaction I want.
Yeah. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moms and dads. Just another mini TED Talk. And a little kind of recap also, and a little more in-depth than what we talked about then yesterday. You heard Rolando talk about. Well, great. Thanks, Rolando. I appreciate that a lot.
Enjoy your trip to France.
Thank you. Looking forward to it. So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Rolando Santos. This is Scotty out. So right now, we've just finished the lecture with Dan Harlan, and I'm here with someone who's going to be at the next session, and also the organizer. I've got Steve Beam. He's going to be doing the Beam Door Jam. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what Scott calls it. Yes.
That's what I call it.
And also I've got really, Scott Robinson. Hey, Scott.
It's really an excuse for Beam to make fun of me for an hour. It's basically
So you go with your strings. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Where have you been all this time? I mean, I've been waiting and saying, I heard you're the designated heckler, but I've only heard the opening day, you know.
You know, but see, that's way overblown. I only heckle people who I know aren't going to, it's not going to mess them up. If it's going to mess them up, then I don't want to heckle them. You know.
That's right.
That's rude.
And so you
I agree.
Now, this does not include the organizer. The organizer basically is a moving target the entire weekend. That's my mission.
So you follow, that's why we're together right now. You follow him as like a shadow. Okay.
Exactly, yeah. And, of course, you know, he's kind of short. That's why he's in the slight club. But, you know.
Hence, that's why he came up with the name.
Yeah, he's kind of hard to follow, you know.
Yeah. So I have a question for you, Scott.
Yes, sir.
It's your first tricks?
It is my first
trick. What do you think?
I think it's awesome. I love the intimacy of this. You know, they talk about it being like a family thing. Certainly, I see a lot of people who have seen each other, know each other year after year, and see a lot of sharing. And everybody is, like most conventions, everybody's friendly and happy. And particularly right now, we're happy to get back together after 18 months of being in a basement, you know, with a camera.
And I think those of you who are listening at home aren't here to see the cash changing hands with each sentence that Scott would say. The other Scott is giving him money. So just letting you know.
I'm glad you like it. You can. I've been wanting you to come for a while, so I'm really
glad. Well, you have asked me, and I appreciate that. Yeah. I'm glad that it worked out. You said there are like 42 people who are new this year who have never attended.
Yeah, which is a huge number.
And I've talked to two people who, one young and one older, who is actually their first Magic Convention ever, let alone
there
the Tricks is one they decided to come
there's
to.
There's five or six never been to Magic Conventions before here.
Yeah. What a way to break them in, huh?
Yeah. Where can they
first
go but up from here?
First and last all in one weekend. Yeah, that's great.
But it has been really good. There have been some people I've never heard of before that I've seen and I've learned from, and they're great.
Well, I think Scott does his best to make Tricks really, truly, I think the absolute best Magic Convention held in Charlotte during the pandemic in the last 30 days.
Yeah,
I would
say
I think we can all agree it's in the last 20 or 30. It's at the top 20 or 30 for sure.
He's got that.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah,
you're welcome.
He's got that nail for the best convention of this weekend in Charlotte.
Exactly. There,
you know, there's a convention going on, I guess the Houdini Convention in Wisconsin. NEMCA's going on, but I'm not at those. I'm at this one. So this is the best one in Charlotte.
Well, like I said, he's in the top 20 this weekend regardless. Yeah, I think we can all agree with that.
I know what I have to look forward to in the next hour.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. Same thing. Yeah.
So I want to, real quick, Steve Beam's Door Jam. We've been doing it for a few years
now. What is that,
by
the way?
It's...
Should I wait and be surprised?
Steve has some stuff he has to say. We do two or three tricks. Me, him, we usually get someone else who's been in his publications. It's going to be today.
You pull people from the floor, they've already been people.
They've already
pre-planned.
Been.
Yeah, we've already assigned.
We tried to pull in them from the floor thing. That doesn't work as well.
When we asked for volunteers for this weekend for the Door Jam, our performer who we're going to use jumped up quicker than Nancy Pelosi at a Donald Trump roast.
So. You've been saving that for a while. That's a good one.
I may recycle that in a minute.
But that's what I thought it was going to be, was a jam. I thought, okay, well, we're going to be given some ideas of things perhaps that have been published in the past.
No,
it's just the name we came up with.
Yeah.
Okay, got
yeah.
you.
And then misspelled it.
Yeah, I did. So, did you see on the interview thing, I have a little B?
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that. That's going to be part of the conversation today, in fact. Yeah.
Well,
nothing is sacred.
So we have three performers doing short little tricks. Yeah. And we have an hour to fill, so you can kind of figure out what this is going to
be. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Well, one of the things I was going to say about the hour that I love, number one, that you're always on time, the way they start. Everybody keeps pretty much to an hour, and there is enough time for everything else, including sleep. I mean, it's like Fechter's whenever you schedule time to sleep because you know that everybody's going to be staying up late, so the first event's not until 11 in the morning.
I think that's great when the best thing you can say about a Magic Convention is the program starts on time. That's really complimentary there, Scott. That kind of cancels out the money you gave you earlier. I think you owe him a refund. You know? Yeah. No, it's a great convention. He really does. He does a great job. I've been to all of them every year, different stuff. Always somebody new, people you haven't heard of, a few that you have, and it's fun.
Let me also compliment you on your brilliance of timing, and that is of having this on the weekend whenever that we have the fallback on the time change.
Yep.
And
awesome.
You try to do that
I
every
do it
year.
On, that's the plan every year. We want to have it on this
Sunday
weekend.
Morning. People can sleep in an hour.
Yep. They get an extra hour. Yep.
And it's great that he programs it so it's right up against NEMCA's thing, and then, you know, so you have to choose. Yeah, that's great.
So there are no collectors here.
Pretty much, except me, who is one collector wannabe, and I'm up here doing card tricks.
Let me tell you, one year Steve said, Scott, I really want to go this year, so I changed the date of the convention.
I want to go to NEMCA.
For him. I moved it so he could go to both.
Yeah.
They canceled.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
He's done an amazing job. To think that we have this quality magic in North Carolina happening once a year is a whole lot better than having to hop on a plane and fly somewhere, I can tell you that.
I wouldn't say it's a regional convention, although a lot of people, because they do know each other, I talked to a lot of people who are friends of yours from Raleigh who'd come over, right. You know, Kevin and several others who have come in here. But anyhow, I've noticed, I went to Atlanta Harvest of Magic many years ago, and I felt like that was a regional convention, you know, and this is to a degree, but still there are a lot of other people who have come in from across the country, like myself and Charlie Randall and Gary Plants and others, of course, from Texas and other places, too. But I know you've had people from across the pond.
Yep.
But if, except for COVID, you probably would have had more people who were
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so we
you
had
got Henry Evans here.
I have Henry Evans. He was from South America, so yep. that was we were able to work that out. But we had someone who will be here next year, I hope, from Italy, and we've had Spain, and we every.
I know
yeah.
Boris has been here.
Boris normally is here every year.
For a good reason.
Yeah. Yeah, he's performed here, and then he comes every year. But, gosh, who all have we had? We've had Danny D'Ortiz. We've had, yeah, you name the who's who.
Well, again, what I think is kind of cool is that you introduce people who are going-to-bes. Not wannabes, but going-to-bes. You know,
we try.
Yeah.
We try.
And, I mean, like Kyle Littleton, I'd not heard of before, and you said he was someone kind of new, and he really killed it.
Yeah. Kyle did his first lecture ever here, back in 2018, 2017, something like that.
5 or 6 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. And the other guy, Kyle
Purnell.
Purnell was awesome. I mean, I'm going to do his
Super
Bill thing.
Super creative stuff. Yeah. So I'm lucky that somehow they just appear before me, right? I get to see them, and
well, you create
there's no answer.
You create a nest. You're the Papa Bird that creates the nest for the Slight Club and for them to develop, so that way they do share ideas and they kind of come here and show what they've been working on. You know,
yeah, it's a
Scott
Papa Bird. I've
nest
never
builder.
Thought of
yeah.
nest builder.
I like that.
Thank you. That's
going to
be in the next hour.
Let's hope you don't lay an egg.
We could.
All right. Well, listen, I know that you guys got to run. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. Thanks for what you've done.
Thanks,
and
Scott.
Steve, good seeing you.
Good seeing you, Scott. Take care.
Okay. Magic Word Podcast with Steve Beam, Scott Robinson, Scotty Adams. Is over, and the only thing left for Trix right now is the evening show, which I understand is a public performance, and so there will be some public people and public tickets that have been sold, but one of the people who was part of the presentation for the Insights last night is Tiffany Allen, and I'm here with her right now. Hello, Tiffany.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. It's good to be had. So I'm glad you are here with us, and you've been coming for a number of years. You've been in Slight Club, I guess, for a long time, too.
Yeah, for a while. So I've been coming to the convention for about 6 years. I've been in Slight Club for 7. I Miss Averse won my first year in Slight Club. So, yeah, I've been here for a while.
And because you're local, you're not one of the satellite members, is that right?
Right. Well, I kind of travel a little bit. So when I first joined Slight Club, I was in Myrtle Beach. So I would drive 3 hours every Tuesday to go to Slight Club.
Okay.
And I just recently moved back to Virginia. So every Tuesday or every other Tuesday or so, it's like 3 hours. So I drive down for Slight Club, again, about every Tuesday, every other Tuesday.
How many people typically will show up at a Slight Club meeting? That's one of the things I meant to ask Scott. I was kind of curious.
Yeah.
Is it like 3, 4, 6, 60? Or, I mean, what's the size of the group?
We haven't had 60. But usually, like, a bigger group will be, like, 20 or so. It typically, like, on average, probably around 10. Sometimes it will be smaller, like 4 or 5. And those are more, like, focus sessions, which are really nice. But, you know, again, with bigger groups, you get more insight into different things and a different, you know, just feedback from different points of view, which is really nice. So either way, it's going to be worth your time.
So, again, you bring in something that you're working on in order to show them, and then they give you the feedback, which is really good and raw, I guess. It's kind of like what feedback you need to hear.
Yeah, it is. There are no egos in Slight Club. And one thing that I really appreciate and that has helped me as a performer and with the pieces that I'm doing now is that you're encouraged to keep bringing that piece back.
Yeah.
So you'll come in on one Tuesday, do the piece, get the feedback, work on it for the next week, bring it in again, and just keep fine-tuning it instead of, like, do it once and then not see it again for another couple months.
Now, you do the Georgia Wonder routine, or act, basically, around. And that's something you had grown into? Were you more interested in cards and just close-up and everything before you got into that? And then tell me something about that.
Yeah, I'll leave the cards to Boris.
Okay. Boris who? Yeah, Boris
yeah,
Wilde.
Yeah, Boris who? Yeah, that guy. So the Georgia Wonder Act, I just kind of stumbled across it. Like, I'd always heard about it.
I don't want to just leave that and drop that. Yeah. Boris is your fiancé.
Boris
Wilde is your fiancé.
Yes, Boris Wilde is my fiancé, yes. And hilariously, I've never really been much for card magic, you know, opposites attract.
Yeah.
So the Georgia Wonder Act, I kind of stumbled across it about 10 years ago. You know, I'd heard about it in magic groups, but it was always, oh, it's that old thing that works on physics. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, well, I hope it works on physics.
Yeah.
That's how everything works.
Yeah.
So I just did a ton of research, found Lulu Hurst's autobiography, which is actually public domain now.
Right.
and kind of worked through that, just reading how she does some of the stuff. And then I actually have some friends that work at colleges, so they were able to kind of connect me with physics professors, which helped me, you know, kind of fine-tune a couple things. It's because what Lulu did, it's kind of like a recipe where you give it to somebody, you leave out, like, that one little thing, like, add a pinch of cinnamon so it can't be exactly right. That's kind of what she did, which I don't blame her.
Right.
But so I kind of went through it, and then I released my notes that kind of, because Lulu was very self-aggrandizing, so you kind of have to dig through all of her talking about me, I'm amazing thing, which she was, to find, you know, what to do, what you want to do.
It's amazing that a woman of that age, when I want to say with 19th century, I guess,
was 1800s,
so bold to be that way when women were really taking a back seat back then.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another reason that I loved doing my talk, because it was completely on the Georgia Wonders. And I kind of grew into that, too. When I first started doing the act, I didn't mention them at all. It was just a piece that I did when I did it for kids. I did like a superhero thing, like this is my superpower. But the more research I did into it, the more I realized it wasn't just the act that was amazing. It was the women doing the act and how they just completely changed everything that we know.
And doing this act, is it for corporate groups, or do you do it for colleges or for grade schools or all kinds of schools?
Yeah, that's the great thing about the act. It's so versatile. You can do anything. In my kids' shows, I perform as a princess and Princess Tiff. And I do it in that, too, where I have the dads come on stage. And, you know, big dudes are like, oh, yeah, part of the magic show. But I do kind of a Tinkerbell thing where the kids clap. And the more they clap, the stronger I get. But I've also done it with motivational speaking. I've done it at bizarre magic conventions. Just pretty much anything. Anything you want to do with it, you can.
Yeah. You know, I didn't know much about princess parties, but I had Katrina Crutch on my podcast a while back. She came over to the house. She happened to be in Houston and came by, and we visited, and she told me all about this. Like, wow, that's a whole different area.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't have one of the, like, branded princesses. I'm just Princess Tiff, mainly because I like to be able to kind of tweak my character as I need to. And I have a princess that wears glasses and tennis shoes and a big sparkly dress.
Which I think is really great. I've been listening a lot to some of what Carissa Hendricks has been saying. I've been hearing her lectures for a long time, but there was something else recently I'd heard on another podcast where she was talking about how that she could affect her language and also about developing a character.
Yes, her character development is insane. I'm so in awe. Yep. Like, and it's not just the Lucy Darling character, it's all the darlings.
Right.
I have no idea how she does it. It's
completely different. Each of the five different, she's had a birthday party, you know.
I'm truly in awe of it. I mean, that's magic right there. Yeah. I'm like, my, I'm not convinced she's all five of them. There's no way somebody can be that talented.
Personality, maybe. Maybe she's got a split personality deficiency or something like that. Along with that, it's just you. Do you play you or do you play a character? I'm talking about princess parties. I'm talking about like when you're doing the Georgia Wonder.
So it's kind of like me, but on steroids. So I've always been very interested in literature and history and just these weird stories. I think that's why I started getting into bizarre magic, and that's kind of formed what I do with the Georgia Wonder Act now. So my character is Tiffany Allen, the new Georgia Wonder, because that's primarily what I'm known for. But I kind of refer to my character as the librarian. Like it's... I was trying to explain to one of my friends, and I kind of...
You wear glasses like a librarian. You take off your glasses, then you get your superpowers.
Yeah, exactly. Very Clark Kent-esque.
Clark Kent, exactly.
But I was telling one of my friends, I'm like, I have this vision of what I want my character to be, but it's going to be weird describing it. And she goes, okay, what is it? And I'm like, I want you to imagine you go into this beautiful old library, and you go to this, like, service desk at the back, and this librarian knows just a little bit too much about these weird stories, like murders and stuff. And she goes, oh, yeah, you can pull that off. So that's kind of what my character is, kind of a dark librarian character. Like, knows a little bit too much.
And so that is your character. So I think, like what Carissa has said, it's important to have different characters so that's the way that you can come back and actually book another act the next year with the same company.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So this is the one that I've been working on longest, I guess. Yeah. But it's taken a while to get here, too. Like, there's a lot of trial and error. I've gone through, like... 12 costumes, different names, all kinds of stuff. So this is the one I finally kind of landed on that I can, you know, kind of revamp as I need to.
And what you need now, of course, is a good poster.
I do. Yes, I need a good poster.
You don't have one yet?
I don't. No. Okay. I haven't found the exact look for a poster that I want yet, but I, you know.
Carissa's got a couple, or Lucy Darling's.
They're gorgeous. Yeah. They are so pretty.
You might talk with her artist.
I know. I was like, oh my God. Like, I've seen a couple of them. They're just, they're beautiful. They're, like, spirits ones. I love that one.
I just think something's kind of old timey like that. Maybe like the Lulu Hearst or the other. What are the other two ladies who were involved?
Annie Abbott and Maddie Lee Price.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, kind of that vintage look. So, my character is, like, kind of a timeless look. It's like you can't quite place where in time it might fall.
Right.
So, yeah, I love that style. She has, like, that vintage, timeless poster.
Well, Tiffany, thanks for your time, and thanks for coming here to this convention year after year, and for giving the presentation, and for getting a chance to actually get to know you a little bit. So congratulations for you and Boris.
I'm looking
forward. When is the date, by the way?
We're working on it. It's hard to say
with COVID. I know.
Well, I have to move over there first, and we have to do the whole, like, 3 months.
You are going to actually move there.
Yes, I'm going to move over to France.
You speak French.
I can curse and flirt, so I'm fluent.
You're good.
But, yeah, I'll
can
be over there.
Can you order wine?
Yeah, that's the important part. I can order wine. Yeah. I'm good. Set, but I'll be over there in January.
Where's the bathroom? Yeah.
Okay, so, who needs that?
In January. Very good. Well, Tiffany, congratulations. Maybe I'll get over there and join you over the
wedding.
That would
be great.
I'm looking forward.
You.
Like I said, I'm going to be going and seeing him soon, so I'm anxious.
I know you're going to see him before I do. Dang.
Well, thank you again. Appreciate it. And good luck on the career. And I'm still we'll be seeing and hearing more of you and be seeing each other again down the road.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It was great.
So the Magic Word Podcast. That was Tiffany Allen. This is Scotty out. Before we begin the evening show, which is open to the public, and we're going to be having actually some public people, some muggles have already gathered over here. I've got one of the people who are going to be a performer also is one of the lecturers and performers today, a longtime friend of yours and mine. Please welcome Dan Harlan. Hi there, Dan.
Yeah, hey, everybody. Yeah, it's good to see you, Scott.
Good to see you as well. Yeah. You got a whole new look last time I saw you.
Yeah,
your hair
was
shaved to the side. Now you kind of let everything grow out during COVID, I guess.
Oh, that's right. Over the past year and a half. Well, first, I shaved everything down so I wouldn't have to worry about handling anything. And then I would just let it all grow. And now...
Going the opposite direction.
Yeah, the opposite direction. And I'm going to see how long I can grow my hair.
Yeah.
That's my plan.
When's the plan also for Max, the Penguin Max, to come back? You involved with that still?
Well, not really, because you know I've kind of severed my official ties with Penguin. I'm no longer the host of Penguin Live. I've moved to North Carolina. I've moved to Raleigh, North Carolina.
Just a few miles out of the road.
Yep, that's right. And so I'm going back to being independent. So I'm producing things on my own. I still work with Penguin, and they'll probably still have me involved in the Max when they do bring that back. But I don't know anything about the day-to-day decisions.
Okay. So what kind of projects are you working on then right now? I bought your socks. I love that that idea with the 20th century socks. It was awesome. At first when I saw the socks, I thought, oh, it looks like the Vanishing Ink sock thing. And it's like, no.
No.
And then it's like, brilliant. I mean, brilliant.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks.
Good thinking.
Well, you know, I did the Tarbell project, and over the course of those 5 years, I developed so much new material that really what I'm doing is I'm going back into those and putting them in my show, working them so that I have, you know, all this material that I can do over the rest of my career. But also when I find things that are like that I think appeal to everyone, I'm going to put it together in a package so it has my usual way that I do scripting, my stamp, my brand. So it'll have full script, full product, everything that you need to be able to perform it the way that I put it together. That's what I've always done. You know, I really want to provide the best material for other people to be able to put into their shows so that they can get great reactions. You can look for that. You've seen me do it throughout my whole career with all of the other things that I've come up with. So there's just going to be more of that.
Do you think that you've been putting together some more things for yourself and then thinking, hey, other people might like this too? So like the main goal is to try to improve your act. But in the process, you're thinking, I'm going to work on this, and this could be something that might be marketable, too.
That's right. So it is a two-pronged approach, but really, I have some effects that I'm going to keep just for myself, mostly because I don't feel that they are what are considered to be commercial effects. They're actually quite challenging. There are a couple of them from Tarbell that I really love, but they're very involved. They're very slight-heavy. They really take a lot of preparation. It's not something that everybody's going to do, but I fell in love with the premise of them, and so I'm going to put those into my act, and I don't think they'll ever be marketed. I might write them up. They are in the Tarbell project, so people can go back and look at them. Once they see me perform them the way that I'm going to do it, people will probably say, well, you know, where can I find that? You'll be able to find the origin of it, but not what I'm going to do with it.
Let me ask, what is a typical day in the life of Dan Harlan nowadays?
Yeah, if there was a typical day, I wouldn't be doing this. There is nothing typical about my life, nothing boring. It's always creative. It's always interesting. I'm writing. Maybe this is a scoop for you because I haven't talked about it much. I'm writing what will be my books. So I haven't published any books at all. I've been published in everything else, but people always ask me, when am I going to write a book? Well, I'm starting it now.
Okay,
I started it about 3 months ago.
So 7 years from now, we can expect this to be released.
I think it's going
to
be faster than that.
Yeah. Good luck. I'm telling you from experience.
It takes a while, but I'm hoping I can get a book out every couple of years. It's going to be more than one, for sure.
I was going to Banachek want to do. Psychological Subtleties 1, 2, or 3. Thought, you know, there could be an encyclopedic
kind of what I'm looking at. There's too much material. So first thing I'm going to do is go back to my early days and get that taken care of. And then we'll work our way forward through the timeline.
Now, when you are working, do you find yourself performing more or creating more or traveling or an equal amount?
Yeah, well, the way it is now, it's more creating. Of course, there's some online performances, but because the world is opening back up, I do want to travel more. I absolutely love traveling. I've missed it. I can't wait to do it. So I'm hoping that it's going to go back in that direction where I will be doing a lot more live appearances.
What is your philosophy or thinking about the future of Zoom shows and lectures and performances?
They still have such a great place because, you can't get the whole world together in any other way. I love it when I do like a Zoom lecture or a Zoom performance for magicians because they're from all around the world. You get to communicate with everybody. It's a beautiful technology. It doesn't replace live. Nothing ever has. You know, live theater has been through radio. It's been through television. It's been through movies. It's been through Zoom now, and still there's that draw of being in the same room with the performer, feeling the energy of the audience, and so I prefer live, but Zoom has its possibilities. It has a function.
I kind of think also it's going to continue on. I mean, we've started something, and I don't think it's going to end just because I don't know the pandemic has actually ended, but it's kind of slowly starting to go out, but there might be another pandemic, who knows, but the point is I think in some form or fashion there's going to be room for Zoom.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you.
Yeah, in the future. Listen, I know that you got to get ready and do some other things. Good luck on the show. Good seeing you, my friend.
Thanks. Well, I've got my whole act in my pocket. I'm ready to go.
You are ready to move. Rock and roll.
Yeah, nice talking to you.
You too. Thanks a lot. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Dan Harlan. Scotty out. It's over and Trix is done, and we had a fantastic show. And they had six of the lecturers who were performing this evening, and one of them is with me right now, Mr. Michael Marr. Hey there, Michael.
Great to see you, Scott.
And you too, my
great
friend.
To see you. You know, what a good grouping of guys.
Yes.
You know, for that intimate setting.
And what I loved about this evening's show was they brought in the public, and their reactions were just...
That made a difference. Made a real, genuine difference to have the layman up close.
Yeah. And their reactions were genuine.
Every convention should do something like that. Yeah. I mean, because all of these guys have such a great magic IQ. Yeah, I mean, this is a very sophisticated group.
Yeah.
You know, and they've seen all the bits and heard all the gags. And so to get a couple of rows of laymen.
Right.
For the real authentic real-time reactions.
Real reactions, right? For people seeing it the first time as opposed to people who are kind of jaded.
Yeah,
with their arms crossed in the front row kind of thing.
Yeah, really made a difference.
It was really great. And have you attended this before?
My first.
Okay.
I've heard about this
same
community, how tight the community is in this area. But the first time to get a chance to come up.
Now, how far is Bluefield? Where you were?
5 hours.
5 hours.
5 hours.
Okay. Now, obviously, they didn't have that when you were young. I mean, they didn't start this, but just about a dozen years ago.
Yeah, and 5 hours. I mean, that's it's like the closest real city. I mean, even though it's 5 hours, it's through the mountains and through the tunnel and everything. So.
But you're in Orlando then now.
Orlando
so
now.
So,
and I drove up.
Did you?
From Orlando.
How far is the drive?
8 hours.
Okay.
8 hours. You know, usually 6 hours is the cutoff because it's almost 6 hours if you fly almost any place by the time you go to the airport and, you get picked up from the airport. But I went ahead and drove up here because I have family up here.
Yes.
I'm going to go to the sisters and nieces and nephews. We're doing breakfast tomorrow.
Are you going to stick around for like a period? How long? Like a
just
week
a few hours.
Oh, you're in and out.
Yeah,
okay.
Just a few
I
hours.
I thought you might like stay to Thanksgiving or something, you know, and have Hannah
no,
come up.
No, it would be nice. But, you know, I got the kids at home.
You got your own family.
I got,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I can only leave out so much food. it's like cats, you know.
I
can leave out about 3 days of food, and they'll be all right. But longer than that, I need to get back. And, you know.
Now, what about Thanksgiving? Where do you spend Thanksgiving?
We usually would come up here or go to West Virginia, you know, to be with the family. But missed the last couple of years doing that.
Yeah.
But this would be a good one to come back up because I got a niece about to have a baby.
Yeah.
You know, and so it'd be nice to come up and the other two nieces in the meantime have had kids since the last time we could all come up.
It's so interesting, you know, for us to have these kinds of conversations, you know, for after knowing each other for so many years, you know, and back when you were in the heat in this
almost
one.
Almost 40 years at the Hawaii convention.
That's right. It was Hawaii. That was 81?
I think it was 1981.
Yeah.
80 or 81. I think
holy
it was 81.
Moly. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All of a sudden, it's a long time ago. 40
yeah,
years.
My hair's turned gray and yours did
mine probably
too.
Would be gray. If I had it, it would probably be gray.
I think I'd asked you before when we were at the TAOM, but what kind of new projects you working on?
Well, this curriculum and a thing for
Discover
Penguin.
Magic,
yeah, the Discover Magic thing is more or less an ongoing thing. And their conference is next week. You know, we're getting together.
Where?
It's going to be in Vegas, but I'd say about half the guys are going to be Zooming with it. It's going to be held over the internet as well. But the other thing is Penguin and I are working together. We're going to bring out the Easy to Master series again. And it's going to become like a weekly thing.
Yeah, an attended Zoom thing that the people can sign up for. So it's a
we're hoping to make it a subscription kind of thing.
Sure.
So, you know, basically a weekly release, but
oh, I see what you're saying. Sure.
You know, if you subscribe, it's really affordable.
Yeah, it's a better deal.
And other than that, I want to do one last U.S. tour.
Okay.
You know, maybe starting next spring. But if you
hit
all the places, you know, and you're on my mind as I do that, depending on how that goes down.
Yeah.
You know, right now, Penguin is talking about coordinating it and helping with that. But if that becomes just me on my own,
it's
might
me.
Hit you up
it's
to,
you and me.
to coordinate this thing on a on a national
I just
level.
Finished working with Joshua J, you know, on his
that was a couple of months. He sent that around the press releases, too.
Correct.
Right? So, really, it was a couple of things going on.
That's correct. Yeah, my arrangement with him is the publisher had him going out for his book tour, basically. But while he was in certain cities, he wanted to give a lecture while he was there, basically. So I was contacting them. And he had certain requirements in order to make this happen. Had to make sure there were enough people, you know, worth the time, and et cetera, et cetera. And so I think it was about 30 cities or so, you know, that actually got lectured out.
They
had like 60 or 90 cities around that the publisher was going to have him go to.
Really?
But, yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but not all of them were going to be lecture cities.
Uh-huh. But even, I mean, that's a major release if they're sending them to 60 cities.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's no small thing.
Well, and it wasn't all in one time, so he's going to be doing some, I think, next January and February as well. So it's kind of like, you know, had a few bunched up, and then they kind of were going to wait for a while and do some next spring.
Yeah, he's got a lot on the ball. I really respect his work ethic, you know.
Yep. Glad to see some young people who are
picking up. No grass growing under his feet.
That's right, that's right. Speaking of young people, you know, at this convention, I think we've seen some amazing talents, people I hadn't heard from before, and some young people, and I'm so encouraged to see young people here.
Some fresh blood.
Yes.
You know.
Because we see these conventions with old gray guys, you know, like me, who are there. I love to see this kind of
excitement. You know, I do a lecture in the U.S., the average age may be 55.
Yeah.
When I was do a lecture in China, 25 maybe the average age.
Really?
Yeah, it's a much younger group. You know, almost no 50, 60-year-old guys.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing something else. But the young bloods are out there doing it's a much younger.
I wonder why that is. I mean, what it is that's happening
it's
in China.
Hard to say. I think the older group learned in a different way. Maybe there was like a cultural revolution or something like that, and prior to that it kind of worked a certain way.
Yeah.
I do recall doing one lecture there where these were the magicians that worked with the government.
Yeah.
And they were the older guys.
Yeah.
Worst audience I ever had, you know, because they didn't want to applaud. They didn't want to act like they didn't know anything.
Yeah.
I mean, because, I don't know. It was just weird and different.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, or just maybe if that's your job and it's government assigned, if somebody else might be better, maybe they'll get that job. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it seemed like there was a real dynamic at play of not seeming like the foreigner guy was one up on us or something like that. That was very interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, again, good seeing you here.
Always a pleasure, Scott.
Yeah,
always a pleasure.
As well, you know, that at the conventions that I see.
And so, I mean, I'd say there's a pretty confident thing which is going to follow through, but if not, you might get a call from me in about 6 weeks.
We'll be spending some time together.
All right,
good. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Michael Lamar. Scotty out. The last show is over, and we started the first day out by talking with the organizer, Scott Robinson, and it's a good way to wrap up then as well. And now I have to congratulate you on a job well
done. Thank you.
And as John Custer just said, that was the best Magic convention he's ever attended.
It was a really good Magic convention.
I wish I would have recorded it. It was just an unsolicited. He just walked by, just a bomb he drops.
Yeah.
Great job. Was,
yeah. You know, you don't know what to say after these. Every year it's kind of, you know, I always I talk about conventions being like Christmas. As the organizer, you wrap these presents for the people that are coming.
Yeah.
And then during it, they unwrap all the presents.
Yeah.
Most of the time, most of the presents are good, but there's some that aren't.
Yeah.
Right?
White elephants. Yeah.
So, yeah. That happens. This year,
everything
they unwrapped, every lecture, every session, the show was dynamite.
Oh, my gosh. Which, bringing in the public was, of course, a great idea, and they are so emotive.
Yeah, you know. They are. And it's not just – it's not about selling tickets to the public. Mm-hmm. It's about bringing the public in and putting them in the right position in the show. So they're – we put them on the first three rows, and we so all the pros are working for – are
real
the real
people.
Yeah. And it makes
and
a huge
reactions.
Difference. They're real reactions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the rest
did
of
you see Henry Evans, the girl sitting on his right?
Yeah.
Her mouth was open. It was,
and she kept looking around, you know, like, what?
Yeah, it was fantastic. So, I'm extremely happy.
You were happy with it?
I was, I was really happy.
Yeah.
I knew after day one that we had a shot at doing a special one where everything worked.
Even what you considered a glitch was really a home run from the very get-go with Ryan Schlutz having a family emergency. He couldn't come.
Right.
And you sliding in the Slight Club guys, you know, and gals at the last moment. They were phenomenal.
Yeah.
What a way to kick it off.
Yeah, it was great. And it was worked so well
that
we're considering that being the opening event every, right? Because all of us have material. We can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a family. I think you felt it. It's like a family reunion here, you know. Even if you're new, you're accepted really quick.
Yeah,
there's not little groups here and there.
No.
There's everybody
that's
talking to everyone.
It was not cliquish.
So I think that's one of the great things about it. So I couldn't be happier. I really couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
It's you know.
Well, good job. I mean, you know, again, it was hitting on every piston. I think you had said it. You know,
it really did. Everything worked. You don't know, right? Even a show, the order matters.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can have all the right acts and you put them in the wrong order.
Yeah.
And it just diminishes from other acts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not tonight. I thought the order worked really, really well.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy. And, you know, for a small convention, I would love for you to tell these guys, even the tech that is done here.
Oh my gosh.
The tech guys are fantastic.
They were better than larger conventions for sure, because there wasn't really any problem. I like the sound. I like the lights you had. That is an unsung hero, the people who are doing all the tech over there, because the big screen monitors you had, even like in this size of it is kind of an odd banquet room we're in which we're on the long end of it as opposed to, you know, but it would have worked out great. I mean, you don't have risers or anything.
Correct.
We didn't need that because the monitors were big enough to
doing
and clear
it this
and the lighting was amazing.
And I know you've been to conventions where they've been in rooms like this, and the they make the decision to put the performer at one of the short ends.
Correct.
So people are way far away.
Yeah.
But we do parlor and close-up.
Right.
So we do it the other way. So the most we have is five rows.
Yeah.
They're long rows,
yeah,
but they're five rows. And actually, Eric DeCamps told me. He gave me that idea year one, and it's, I think it makes a big difference. So I'm really, thanks, Eric.
Speaking of Eric, that was something, you know, he had said he wished he could be here.
Yeah, he was supposed to be here, but he was down 2 weeks ago working at the Magic Canvas. He did his one-man show there tonight. So I think coming back down that quickly was
But you were telling before, I thought it was kind of funny that you had sweetened the pot by letting him go by Randy Flair's place?
Not Ric Flair.
Ric Flair, the WWF guy.
And he got to wear one of Flair's robes when he was here. We have pictures of him coming out.
For people who don't know who that is, you want to...
Ric Flair, 16-time world champion, professional wrestler. My brother is part of the professional wrestling industry. He's a referee for the WWE. He's been in the business for 25 years. So we had one of Flair's robes, and him and Doug Kahn. That year, everyone took pictures in this robe. It was awesome. So...
Funny.
We do silly stuff.
Yeah.
I think the hit of the convention, though, was non-magic. I think what Max
think
Nelson did, he brought the house down with
you just talk about Max's crap?
Max's drawers? What's in Max's drawers, or the crap in Max's drawers is what I think we decided on calling it.
Yeah.
And he just basically said the stuff all of us thought, which we buy a lot of stuff we wish we wouldn't have bought.
What is this crap? This is crap. It's a magnet.
It was
a magnet with a string.
It was fantastic. It was really fun. And,
so,
everybody.
It kind of reminded me of... what's the guy? Master Payne.
Master Payne.
You know, you always did those good PowerPoint presentations.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. Yeah, but, it does definitely remind you of that.
I might think about having him some future.
So you coming back?
Oh, let me think about that. Yes.
Awesome.
I thought enough.
I'm glad. I thought we got you here once, we'd get you hooked.
I want to be part of this family.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Great job.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
It means a lot to me.
Well,
thank you.
For the Magic Word Pod. And your wife, it was great, you know, kind of thing that you guys, given the awards and everything, it was kind of cool. It was very special. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that's a wrap. That's with Scott Robinson. Scotty's out.
Yeah.